Now, Radharasudaniti class. We're discussing Radharasudaniti, Nam Rup Gun and Leela of Srimati Radharani. Yeah, there's too much beauty. I can't really appreciate this beauty of the Sanskrit because I'm ignorant of Sanskrit. But it's the phrases and lines are certainly very beautiful, and the conceptions. I can have some dim appreciation of the conception. So we were discussing about the name of Srimati Radharani. Yesterday we were discussing verse 95, how Krishna himself is so much attracted to Radharani's name that when he goes into the temple room at Nandagaon to chant his Ishta mantra, Narayan mantra, which his father had initiated into by Baguri Rishi. He sits there in a temple room, very straight and moving his fingers under a cloth. But he's made an arrangement, Krishna has made an arrangement, and stand perched in the corner of the room is a parrot. And Krishna has trained that parrot to chant two syllables, Da and Ra. So the parrot chants Da and Ra, and after some time he forgets to chant Da and Ra, and he starts chanting Radha, 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 Radha. And Krishna is really relishing his chanting of Narayan mantra, because all he's doing is listening to the parrot chant Radha, Radha, Radha. So, and then we heard how Mahaprabhu, some excerpt from Adi Leela, chapter 4, where he's saying, who in this world can make me happy? Is there anyone who can make me happy? And then he's saying, only Radha can make me happy. And then that's why that Mahaprabhu, rather, not Mahaprabhu, but Krishna is always chanting Radha's name. So then is explained that the last part of this verse 95, Prabhupada Saraswati, he's saying like this. He's saying, Adbhutam spuratu me radeti varnadvayam. Radeti varnadvayam. Adbhuta spurato. Adbhuta spurti means amazing vision or amazing revelation or wonderful revelation. And this is a prayer of Prabhupada Saraswati. May this radeti dvara varnadvayam, means these two syllables, varna means syllable, may these two syllables, radha, become manifest to me. And if they become manifest to me and manifest to my heart, that will be the most wonderful thing that could ever happen to me, that these two syllables will take shelter in my heart. Because my heart is a very dirty place and not a very nice place. But he's praying for this. So this is one part of the verse. He's describing three aspects in this verse, how Krishna himself is absorbed in chanting this name, and how this name is so powerful, Radha's name, Radha, that if one hears this name and accepts this name with devotion, then he loses all his interest in anything else, name, fame, gain, dharma, art, kam, moksha, anything. And then he concludes his prayer by saying, O Radha, O name of Radha, O, will these two syllables, Radeti Varnadvayam, Adbhutam Spurato, will they become manifest in me? This is my prayer. So we can also have the same prayer. Let the wonderful holy name of Radha be manifest in my tongue. So this is how the holy name comes. It comes on its own. Just like bhakti. There's nothing we can do to create bhakti. Bhakti comes from bhakti. Only bhakti can generate bhakti. So we can chant and we can try to chant some type of namaparad or namabas, but the pure name of Krishna or Radha or Gauranga must become manifest to us. So this verse is quoted here, Atak Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Graimindraya Sevan Mukhehi Jivado Swayam Eva Spurat Yada. This is a famous verse. It says that we serve Krishna beginning with the tongue, Sevan Mukhehi Jiva. Jiva means tongue or jibya. Jiva or Jibya. Sevan Mukhe. We do that service And then, because this Krishna, this Atakshri Krishna Namadi Nabhavyangriya Indriya, by our Indriya Gram means, like Gram means village, means group. Our senses, we cannot catch this name. We cannot catch the name of Krishna. Atakshri Krishna Namadi. Krishna's name cannot be perceived by the material senses or the material mind. It cannot be captured. It cannot be held. It cannot be understood. It cannot be perceived. Krishna's holy name can only be perceived by spiritualized senses. Spiritual senses, as Prabhupada uses the term, spiritualized. This means senses, indriya, which are surcharged with sharanagati and seva. Indriya, which are surcharged with Krishna's sharanagati and Krishna's seva. With surrender to Krishna, and those senses are surrendered to Krishna, and those senses are fully engaged in Krishna's service. Those are called spiritualized senses. And with such spiritualized senses, then Krishna will agree to Swayam Eva Spuratida. That's Swayam, that original Krishna himself, Swa, himself, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam, he will give the Spurti. He will manifest, yes, here I am. Here I am. And that's what Prabhupada said is Krishna dancing on the tongue. So this is Krishna, he's experiencing that Radharani's name, that when he chants Radha's name, then Radharani manifests. And there's different pastimes like that. So this is what Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada Saraswati, he's praying like that. And that should not be our prayer, because he's Tungavidyasakhi. He's Tungavidyasakhi, so he's always with Radharani. He's expanded from Radharani's body. He's Kayavyuha of Radharani. He's one of the Ashtasakhis. There's no question of him being ever separated from Radharani. It's no question of him ever being not manifest to Radharani or not manifest before Radharani or having Radharani not manifest within him or before him. But for our benefit, he's praying Adbhutam, Adbhutam Spurato. We have so many visions, we see so many things, but they're not very wonderful, or Adbhutam. Adbhutam means what? Amazing? What does it mean? Adbhut. Spectacular?
Wonderful.
What's chamatkar then?
Chamatkar is
surprising.
Chamatkar is
a wonderful surprise.
Out of the ordinary.
Oh, magical. Oh, magical. So the word that he's using is adbhuta. So this means spectacular, stupendous.
It's like adbhuta means something not ordinary. It's extraordinary.
Extraordinary. I guess beyond the bhutas. Bhuta means the elements, not the bhuts, the bhutas. The bhutas, Mahapanchabhuta. Bhumira, Polna, Lova, earth, water, fire, called Panchabhut. Panchabhut, the elements. So is that bhuta? It's beyond all the elements. It means it's beyond the material world, right? Extraterrestrial. Transcendental. So this is the kind of vision, because we have so many visions, but this is a transcendental vision. Transcendental manifestation. When Radharani comes and takes shelter in our heart. Radharani Vishram. Govinda Vishram. It's for the Krishna Bhakta, they have Krishna Govinda Vishram. The Madhvacharyas, they worship Udupi Krishna. Bina Radha. Without Radharani. There's no Radharani there. In their puja, in their meditation. And there, that's the Madhva Sampradaya. They worship Sri Krishna and Vaikuntha Bhav. But in our Sampradaya, we don't want Govinda Vishram. We want Radha Vishram. Vishram means resting. We want Radharani to rest in our heart. And that's the whole idea of living in Vrindavan. The idea of living in Vrindavan is to live with Radharani. Radhavas is Radhaniketan. Radhaniketan, Radhavas, Radhabhavan. Radhanivas means to be very much with Radha, with her name, with her form, with her qualities. And what to speak of Radhakund? Radhakund is the personal nivas of Radharani. No one else, this is her nivas. It's not Shridham's nivas. It's not Brishabhanu's nivas. It's not Anangamandri, well, it's Anangamandri's nivas. But it's not Kirtida's nivas. And it's not Mukherjee's nivas. Mukherjee is her grandmother, her mother's mother. She lives that away. She lives that away in Mukherjee. So it is only her place. So this is, we want someday to have that Adbhuta Spurato. We pray for that. Let that name be manifest in my heart. Let that name appear in my heart. This is the inner prayer of a Raghunuga Sadhak. Raghunuga Sadak. Someone on the level of Vaidhi Sadhana, they don't know much who they are, and where they're going, or what they're doing. But they're doing something in the name of devotion, and they're going somewhere in the name of devotion. And they have some idea by the mercy of Guru. But a very clear conception, they're in what's called Brahm. Sadhana Sadhya Brahm means illusion or confusion. Illusion, confusion, delusion, doubt about the sadhana and practice and about the sadhya. What is the goal? Is the goal Nisringa Loka? Is the goal Ram Loka? Is the goal Ayodhya? What is the goal? Parangati. So text 96, this is following this verse 95. Kalindi tatakunja mandira gato yagindrava yatpada jyotir dhyana parasara japatiyam premashu porno hari kenap yadbhutamulasad rati rasanain rasanandena sammohita saradeti sadaridi spuratu me vidya para dhyuakshara. Again, he's asking for spuratu. Spuratu. Radeti sada ridi spuratu me vidyapara dvakshara. Vidyapara. So this first line, he's saying, Saraswati Thakur is saying, Kalindi tata kunja mandira. Kalindi tata kunja mandira. Gato yogindravat yatpada. So this is very nice. On the banks of Kalindi, Kalindi tata, kunja mandira. And a kunja mandir means a, mandir means temple, a love temple. a kunj mandir. Gato yang, that means that, gato means the Yogendra, he has gone there. That Krishna has gone on the banks of the Yamuna. He has entered into one kunja mandir, into one very confidential private kunja, like cottage, flower cottage. And he's waiting there. For whom? Radha. He's waiting for Radha. So the translation. May the two supremely astonishing, blissful, rasic, erotic, and enchanting syllables, Radha. It's quite a few adjectives there. Supremely astonishing, blissful, because the words are there, adbhutam ulasad rati rasanandena samohita. Enchanting, samohita means completely bewildered. Mo means bewildered, confused. Samohita means completely, absolutely. So these are the adjectives. These are the adjectives which Prabhupada Saraswati uses to describe Radha's Naam. Adbhutam ulasad rati rasa ananda samohita. Supremely astonishing. So they're translating adbhuta as astonishing. Astonishing, blissful, rasic, full of ras, erotic and enchanting syllables, Radha. May these syllables that fulfill all desires that are uttered by Sri Hari while he sits in a bower house or a kunja mandir on the bank of the Yamuna, as the king of yogis, meditating on the effulgence of her lotus feet, with eyes filled with tears of love, always be manifest in my heart. So here, he's glorifying Radha's name, but he's also indicating a lila. Because in the previous verse, he's saying that Krishna is praying for this name. Now he's showing how, what a lila, illustrating how Krishna has gone to a lonely place on the bank of the Yamuna. And he's mentioned here as Yogindra, as the greatest of yogis. So why is that? Because he's doing the topmost meditation. He's meditating on lotus feet, and his eyes are filled with tears of love. It says, Jyotir Dhyanapara Sada Japati Yam Premashu Purnahari. So Premashu is... eyes are full of tears, premashu, tears of love, And he's sada japati. He's doing his jap. Krishna's doing his japa. You're doing japa in your kunja, in your kunja kutir. In your kutir, you're doing your jap, in your apartment, in your flat. And Krishna's also gone into the kunja mandir to do his jap. So what name does he chant? Does he chant Hare Krishna mantra? Radha Nam. Radha, 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 Radha. So there's a nice pastime. Why the pastime here illustrates why Prabhupada Saraswati is choosing to call Krishna Yogendra, the king of mystic yogis. So there's a lila described here that when Srimati arrives at the meeting place, she sees that Shyamasundara has not yet arrived, and she becomes very upset. The Mandris understand Radharani's condition, so they go out to search for Sham. But the forest is so dark, Krishna couldn't find the meeting place. He couldn't find it. It's called Sanket Kunj. Means the appointed place. Sanket means appointed, or designated, or assigned. We decided beforehand that we'll meet in such and such a place. But there were no maps there. Krishna didn't have a road map of Vrindavan. And sometimes there's lots of monsoon rain, so too many trees and underbrush grow up, so he gets lost. The footpaths get covered up. So he couldn't find the place. So he entered another kunj. So one mandri came there and found Sham. And he was meditating on Radharani's toenails. Somehow, by the mercy of Radharani, the mandri understood what was going on in Sham's mind. In other words, you read my mind. We have this phrase in English, oh, you read my mind. So the mandris, it starts there. Everything starts there. The mandris are expert at reading Radha's mind. And the mandris are expert at reading Krishna's mind. Otherwise, how can they make arrangements? Because one of their sevas is to bring the lover and the beloved, the Nagar and the Nagari, together. The Nayaka and Nayaka. They have to bring them together. So in order to bring them together, they have to know their moods and feelings. So they have to know their minds. So the mandri was thinking, or this is actually, she tuned in to Krishna's thinking, and this is what Krishna was thinking. Aha, how can my tender Radhika come to this far, over this forest path, which is so dark, all by herself? How is it possible? It's so dark, and tonight is Amavasya. And how will Radharani find her way? There are no street lights, there's no flashlights, there's no torches, no Jivan Satis, ever readies. How will she find? Then he's thinking, oh, here's the way. The effulgence from her toenails, the Jyoti Naka, which is mentioned in the verse, that brilliant light from her toenails, that will illuminate the forest floor. And using that, that will be her torch. Her toenails will be her torch. Naka torch. Nak torch, her toenail torch, and she will find a way. Apara siddhi vridhi digda satpadangalina ke kadakrishi siyamam kripa kataksapajanam. Apara siddhi vridhi digda satpadangalina. From Angali, from Radharani's Angali, unlimited mystic perfections emanate, and all the devis, they wait in line just to beg a drop of that perfection from Radharani's feet. So he's thinking, oh yes, in this way she'll find her way. But as soon as Rasaraj starts meditating on the effulgence of Radharani's feet, he becomes absorbed in the sweetness and enters into samadhi like a great yogi. That's why Prabhudananda Saraswati describes him as Yogindra. Yogindra means the king of yogis, Yogiraj. Yogiraj Sri Krishna Ki.
Jai.
So he is absorbed in the topmost mystic meditation. What is the topmost mystic meditation? To meditate on the toenails of Radharani. The effulgence, not even the toenails, just the effulgence from her toenails, and to chant Radha, 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 Radha. Right? So he's doing like this. Just as great yogis sit in a solitary mountain cave to meditate on Supreme Brahman, the light of the Brahmajyoti. Krishna, who is the Supreme Brahman himself, is meditating on the effulgent toenails of Srimati Radhika. That sometimes people ask the question, oh, you say that God is the source of everything, He's created everything, He's the Sarvakarna, Karna, Mishra, Parama, Krishna, and God is... Well, who's the source of God? They say, who created God? When the buck stops there, that's the meaning of God, the Supreme Being, the Absolute. There's nothing behind Him, no one behind Him. So in the same way, we can ask the question, oh, the yogis are meditating on the Supreme Brahman, but who is the Supreme Brahman meditating on? So the yogis can't answer, because they don't have the Goswami grunts. They have their own grunts. Their own grunts, but not the Goswami grunts. So they're grunting and moaning and doing their yoga. But these grunts are telling us that the Supreme Brahman is meditating on another Brahman, Radha Brahman. That's a higher Brahman. There's Para Brahman, but then there's Para Para Brahman. The Para Brahman is Radha's toenails, the Jyoti, Jyoti Naka from Radharani's toenails. This is the astounding glories of Srimati Radharani. He who which all the greatest yogis throughout all time are meditating on his Jyoti, the Brahma Jyoti, desiring this Nirvishesh or Nirvikalp, Nirvikalp Brahman. They want to meditate and absorb themselves. Then if someone was to inquire from the yogis, oh, you're meditating on the Para Brahman, but do you know that Para Brahman is also meditating? Acha? Really? Yes. You are also a yogi and you're sitting in this cave in the Himalayas meditating in Dev Prayag? In Joshimath? Do you know that down south of here, on the banks of the Yamuna, Kalindera Tate Kutira Mandire, that on the banks of the Yamuna there's also another yogi? He's a blue yogi, Nila yogi. He's blue. And he's also meditating in a very confidential, dark place inside the Kunja Mandir. No light can come there, no starlight, no moonlight, no sunlight. It's totally dark, like your cave here in Joshimath. Acha? And that Brahman Jyoti you're meditating on, he's there. He's sitting in that Kunja Mandir. And he's also meditating. That Para Brahman, he's meditating. Acha? Do you know what he's meditating on? I can't. Do tell. He is meditating on the effulgence of Radharani's lotus feet. The Para Brahman is meditating on the Naka Jyoti. The toenail, the light of her toenails. How do you like that? Really? Let me see. Let me go down to Vrindavan and check this out. So then the yogi gives up his bogus yoga, and comes down and starts chanting Hare Krishna on the banks of the Yamuna. Hey Rad, hey Vraja Devi, Keja Lalite, hey Nanda Sunakutam. Goshantavati Sarvato Vrajapure, Kedar Mahavivalo. He becomes totally vivalo, becomes totally overwhelmed. So, that's why he's called Yogendra. Although the greatest mystic yogis want to attain liberation by meditating on Krishna's bodily luster, Krishna himself meditates on the effulgence of Radhika's lotus feet to become liberated from what? The yogis want to become liberated from material existence, janma mritya jaya vyadhi. They want moksha, moksha prapti, mukti prapti, and they meditate on this Brahman. Om, om, om. They're to attain liberation. They're chanting and meditating. But what's Krishna want liberation from?
Pain of separation.
His lusty desires. let's put it in simple English. It's nothing but lusty desires. Transcendental lust for Srimati Radharani. So he's burning in a fire of separation from Radharani and he wants to be with her and hold her and have her and dance with her and receive her association and service as his beloved consort. But he's separated. So this is his way of getting free, getting liberated. So while he's meditating on the beautiful shining light from Radharani's beautiful lotus feet, Krishna repeatedly mutters, her sweet holy name, Radha, 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 while the hairs on his body stand on end in ecstasy, and a stream of tears flows from his eyes. What a scene. Beautiful scene. This is called chanting at the level of Prem. Prem Nam Sankirtan. Golokara Prema Dan Hari Nam Sankirtan. Golokara Prema Dan Radha Nam Sankirtan. So Krishna is chanting Radha Nam, and it's coming from Golok, full of Prem, Goloka Prem. And he's having Satvik Bikara, transformations, Romancha Kampa Ashru. So now, to conclude, there's this pastime has to end somewhere. So the Manjari is watching all this, and then she runs away. And she goes and meets Swamini, Radhika, in another kunj. And she says, oh, your Nagar, he's waiting for you, and he's crying for you, and he's meditating on you, and he's simply repeating your name over and over again. Radha, 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 Radha. Really? Take me there immediately. Let's go. Jao, Saki. Jaunge. So then they run. She holds Radharani's hand and they run together. Skipping, jumping, running, flying down the footpath. Right to where Krishna is sitting. When Radharani sees Yogiraj Krishna immersed in meditation on her, she becomes submerged in the ecstasy of Rasananda, and her hair stands on end. With a sweet voice, Radharani Sangini, her Manjari, she whispers, O Yogi Raj, open your eyes and look. The treasure of your sadhana has come before you. Be blessed with the fruits of your sadhana. The powerful name of Radha has attracted the deity of Radha to come here personally. And the lotus feet you have meditated on have now come before you and are standing right next to you. Bless your eyes by beholding their sweetness directly. Hearing the Manjari's statement, the king of yogis, Yogindra Krishna, slowly opened his eyes as he came out of his deep trance of samadhi. And when he saw the deity before him, the very deity of his meditation, he saw standing in front of him, Sakshat Radha. Then he became overwhelmed with ecstasy. He was relishing that sweetness. So then, this is being seen by Rati Manjari, Prabodhananda Saraswati. But when he loses that spurti, when he loses that meditation, that samadhi of this beautiful pastime, then he speaks in this verse, this last line, Vidyate sarva kampatis tasmat vidya paramata. He says that this is paravidya. He explains in this verse, 96. He says, paravidya, vidya para, saraditi sadahariti spuratu me vidya para dvayakshara. That these two syllables, Radha, this is paravidya. This is the topmost understanding, the topmost knowledge, paravidya. So why is it paravidya? Because he's praying that these two syllables, paravidya, Radha, will be manifest in my heart. Because Radharani, she is the person who can fulfill all desires. That is why she's called paravidya. Because knowledge itself gives us the power to fulfill our desires. Think about it. If you have knowledge, you can fulfill your desires. Without knowledge, you can't do anything, even materially. If you have a desire to do something, you have to have knowledge to accomplish it. So here, this is called Paravidya, the topmost transcendental knowledge. So that's why it's defined. The word Paravidya means, this is defined here, Vidyate Sarva Kampa, Kampatis, Tasmat Vidya Paramata. That this is the characteristic of Paravidya. When one has this type of knowledge, which is pure spiritual knowledge, transcendental knowledge, when we possess spiritual knowledge or transcendental knowledge, that can Sarva Kam. Kam means desire. That can fulfill all our desires. Because ultimately, the desire of the Atma is only one. All become one. When the soul enters the body, the one becomes many. But when the soul becomes self-realized, the many become one. Because when the soul is mixed with the material body, we have unlimited millions of desires. What is it? Bahushaka Yanantascha. Bahushaka Yanantascha, Krishna says in Gita. Vishayavini Vartante Niharasya Dehana. Rasu Varsham Rusopiyasya. Is that the verse? No, Bahushaka. No. Anyway, there's one verse like this. Bahushaka has unlimited branches, unlimited desires. But when that soul becomes liberated, becomes self-realized, then all those many, many desires become one. Because originally, the soul has one desire. And so when we attain transcendental knowledge, we'll fulfill all our desires, because our desire is only one. How to please Krishna. How to love Krishna. This is the one and only desire. The one becomes many, and the many become one. The one desire of the pure soul becomes many when it's mixed up with the material body. Many, unlimited. This and that, and this and that, and it never ends, and we never find satisfaction, and we keep desiring more and more and more, and never find an end, and never find satisfaction. But when we see that this course that I'm taking, this road I'm taking, will only lead to frustration and repeated birth and death, and doesn't really give satisfaction, then we walk the path of spiritual life. And then the desires start going one by one, going. And we only want devotion, service. That's it. I only want service, bas, nothing more. This is one desire. So the many become boiled down into one. One piece of burfi. 100 liters of milk. Boil it down to one fat piece of burfi. So all the material desires get boiled off. Cheto Darvana Marjanam. They all get burned off. Boiled off, wiped off, margin, cleansed from the chitta. And then the original bhakti kam, original desire of bhakti arises from the pure soul. So this is what Paravidya means. So he's saying that these two syllables, they're Paravidya. Because these two syllables are Paravidya because they can fulfill all desires, sarvakamp. This is from definition. By the power of the japa of Radhika's holy names and meditation on our lotus feet, Shama Sundara has attained his long desired goddess. So this is the conclusion of this verse number 96, is that Krishna, he chanted with tear-filled eyes in a lonely place, and his meditation was fixed on his Ishtadev. In his case, his Ishtadev was Srimati Radharani. And he fixed his mind. He wasn't inattentive. He wasn't thinking about lunchtime or what work he had to do or buying new clothes or the baby or anything. He was only thinking about Radharani. His Ishtadev was fixed. He was in a lonely place on the bank of the Yamuna in Vrindavan. And he was meditating and he was chanting his japa, Nam Japa. Then he got Spurato, Adbhuta Spurato. He got the wonderful vision of his deity, of his mantra, Mantra Devata. It's called Mantra Devata. And the mantra devata for his mantra is Radharani. She came there personally. The mantra brought Radharani into that kunj to show Krishna. And Krishna is so happy. So the same thing can happen to us. We're sitting in our house, we're sitting in our apartment, our kunj, our kutir, whatever. And we're chanting. And someday, if we can fix our meditation and properly chant, then the deity, our mantra devata, the deity of our mantra will also come to our kutir. And come to us and manifest himself as he manifested himself to Narada Muni one time, to Dhruva Maharaj, to Prahlad Maharaj. He comes right to your house, right to the pillar. He comes out of the pillar. Here I am. Ah! Ooh, Haribo.
Haribo.
So he can come out of your pillar, out of your marble floor, out of your door, anywhere he can come. This is Krishna's freedom. He's free to act in any way. So we'll stop there. Any questions or comments?
Because of this yoga mera potency that all this is covered, or why?
Yeah. The question is that we read that descriptions of the spiritual world that everything is self-luminous. Everything is self-luminous. Everything emits light. The trees emit light. The ground emits light. The people emit light. They're all emitting light. And this is a fact. It is a world of light. It is a world of pure knowledge. There is no darkness there. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakara. Wherever is the Krishna sun, Krishna Surya, Krishna is like the sun. And wherever the sun shines, there is no darkness. When the sun rises in the day, there is no darkness. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakara. Maya, illusion, the absence of Krishna is all darkness. It's all dark. We need light from outside. If the light doesn't come from outside, we're in the darkness. If the sun doesn't rise, it's always dark. But in the spiritual world, they don't depend on sunlight or moonlight for electricity. Electricity for light. In fact, they are conspicuous by their absence, it's told. In the spiritual world, there's no need for sunlight, moonlight, or electricity. However, because all variety originates there, there's also a spiritual sun, there's also a spiritual moon, and spiritual stars that are making up the firmament of the skyline over Braj, or Goloka Vrindavan. And due to the desire of the Lord to experience variety and different flavors in variety, as our Guru Maharaj often said, that variety is the mother of enjoyment. The more variety, the more enjoyment. If you have a meal with just rice, it's okay, something. But there's rice and sabji, that's nice. And rice and sabji and vakora, the more variety, more pleasure. So the spiritual world is full of pleasure. It says there's no time there. There's no time factor. And it says everything's effulgent. But here we find nighttime. How can there be nighttime if everything's daytime? So as you mentioned, Krishna's Swarup Shakti, his yogamaya potency, makes all the arrangements of this variety, creates all the variety for the pleasure of Krishna. If he wants night, it becomes night. If he becomes night in the day. If he wants spring and it's winter, it becomes spring. If he wants summer and it's fall, it becomes summer. Whatever season he wants, whatever condition he wants, Yogamaya arranges for that. So the ground is usually luminous, self-luminous. When nighttime comes, it's night. It becomes very dark, like the ground here. Just like Boma Vrindavan. If we go out in Amavasya, we can't see anything. We can't see anything on Amavasya. Dark moon. But for Krishna's Leela, everything is adjusted like this by Yogamaya.
Also, when he's sitting and meditating, actually Vrindavan, this Vrindavan, it's a desireful, fulfilling place. Mm. So if he is just sitting once, Radharani to come, she can just be there.
Yes.
She makes arrangement for Manjari to bring her there.
Yeah. That all these things can happen, and that you're saying that this is the Aishwarya concept of Vrindavan, that every tree can fulfill every desire, every piece of ground can fulfill every desire. So simply, you sit anywhere and desire anything and it'll happen. That's what you're saying. And of course, that can happen that way, and it does happen that way sometimes also in the Madhurya Leela of Radha and Krishna. The gopis are bathing Radha and Krishna, and then they're desiring, oh, Radharani's clothes are wet, it'd be nice if we had some nice dry clothes. And then the tree drops off a few saris. A few saris drop off the tree. The Kalpavriksha tree produces on the spot exactly the right sari, the right size even. She doesn't have to take it to the tailor and go and get a special choli made to match. You know, and get all the darting done and all this other stuff. It's already pre-sewn and pre-made and everything. It falls right off the tree, ready to fit. But that's the Aishwarya aspect. All this omnipotency, all this Aishwarya aspect is there. But Braj, the sweetness is such that the Aishwarya withdraws to the background. The Aishwarya is in the background. It's there, but it withdraws to the background in the presence of the sweetness of Braj. So therefore, the Madhurya aspect of Braj is so strong and so intense that it's playing on the back. It's playing in the background of the Aishwarya. So basically, everything is pretty much human-like. It's Nara Leela. Here and there is also Nara Leela. Although, time to time, the Aishwarya asserts itself according to the will of the Lord. But mostly, it's it seems that they have to do some endeavor. They have to walk and bring the mandri here because this creates ras. Aishwarya is not much ras in Aishwarya when everything happens on automatic pilot and it's all programmed by computers and happens. There's not much taste there, not much flavor there, much ras. So in the mandri aspect, it's unexpected. There's the expectancy or the surprise element. What's going to happen? Will Krishna meet Radharani or will he not? Because if it's all automatic, that you simply desire, then she'll be there. He simply sits there and desires and she appears. But then there's no playing hard to get. And there's no man. And there's no... The leelas become very simplified then. And become very much mechanical. But in this sweet aspect, we never know what's going to happen next. That's why Krishna's quality is vidagda. Not vidagda, but... said he's... In the first verse of the Bhagavatam, it says he's sarvagya, he's all knowing, and he's vimugda, he's also bewildered.
And a question can I ask?
Yeah.
See, if you are in those pastimes, you know that you are acting like that, Krishna is not supreme and not full of power, so you are adjusted in those leelas. Now, what's happening next, you go. But when we are sitting here, we know all this, that. And we read it, then actually we know Krishna is full of power, everything is happening by His grace and everything, so this is only leelas that we are leading. So there's not so much, we are not into it because we are not in that place, so we are just reading it.
Yeah, that's a fact, and we're reading these leelas from our position as sadhakas, and these leelas are purifying us, and as I mentioned the other day, they're painting our hearts. You dip a paintbrush in a can of paint and you paint the wall. The walls of our heart are getting painted by these prema-filled leelas. And the black walls are eventually being replaced by a white undercoat. Then the undercoat of white or primer coat is eventually covered by beautiful colors, multicolors of rasa and bhav as we advance in bhakti. But so it has always has benefit to read these pastimes and think about these pastimes. But to actually enter those pastimes, then we have to come under the influence of Yogamaya. And Yogamaya begins to influence the sadhaka at the level of prema. And to some extent, at the higher level of bhava, Yogamaya influences the sadhaka, so he forgets. He forgets the godhood of Krishna. He becomes madhuryamayi, becomes absorbed and covered with and drenched with madhurya, sweetness. So he can't see that. He can't find the Aishwarya. Only then, when he enters the Leela and Leela Pravesh and his Siddhadeha and does Manasi Seva, when there's times of separation, when Radha and Krishna are separated, then sometimes the background, which I mentioned, the Aishwarya aspect of Braj in the background, asserts itself and creates a sense of, oh, he's God. Oh, he's even Paramatma. So they even remember these things in times of separation. Sometimes the Aishwarya, but most of the time Aishwarya is in the background, and Yogamaya is enabling everyone just to forget everything, and he's my little Lala, and he's my lover, and he's lost, and we have to find him. And we will ourselves, as we become advanced, will have Yogamaya will also take us by the hand and link us. It's a Maya, it's an energy which links our heart and our mind with the heart of Krishna. That's why it's called Yogamaya, because it's spiritual. Now our hearts and mind are linked with Mahamaya. So Mahamaya is the material energy, the external energy of forgetfulness and separation. We're forgetting Krishna, we're separate from Krishna. So Mahamaya covers us with this illusion.
Yogamaya is Purnamasi.
Yogamaya is Purnamasi. That's one of her forms, Purnamasi.
We can pray to her to influence us.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely we pray to Purnamasi, we worship Purnamasi. And they have a deity of her in Rupa Sanatana Mandir of Purnamasi. And she is prayed to. The Goswamis wrote the prayers to Purnamasi, and we pray to Purnamasi because everything is personal. All energy is personal. Behind every energy, there's a person. You're a person. You have energy. You have creative energy, and you have destructive energy. You can take a bat and break all the windows in your house. That's destructive energy. Or you have creative energy. You can make a painting, or you can make something. You can build a house with your creative energy, and you can destroy it with your destructive energy. Take it, some dynamite, throw it in there, boom, blow it up. That dynamite is anantashesh when it gets angry. He starts spitting out dynamite from his eyes. Or you can maintain the house by your hard work. So we have maintenance energy, Palana Shakti. We have Shristi Shakti. We have Pralaya Shakti. We have all those Shaktis within us to a minute degree. But we're persons. So God is the supreme, unlimited person. He has Parasya Shakti, Vivadaya Shriyate, Subhavaki Gana Balakriyacha. He has unlimited energies and powers. Sri Radha Rasura Nidhi Ki Jaya.